Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a
city. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Christian Sentinel Radio Network, which is the network of our sister, Jackie Alnor. And also we have two YouTube channels. And we have the YouTube channel Susan Puzio under my name. And then I have another YouTube channel called Greedy Preachers TV, which is a newer one, and I'm working on that one anyway. I asked you all to pray last week about my YouTube channel, and I was busy all week making videos and learning how to use my new video program, which I kind of figured out. You have to learn all these new things, you know. Anyway, I was busy making videos, and I was enjoying it, and then I was getting better at it, so I think I was like putting up one a day this week, and I did manage to get on the recommended list, so when that happens, it's good, because then you can get more listeners. That's the thing. If you're going to minister to people, you want people to come to your channel. That's the point. So anyway, I want to thank all of you that prayed and let you know that it looks like things will start to improve there. And then we have our website, propheticnews.com. I have so many articles, not articles that I wrote personally, but that I accumulated over the years from different ministries. And I think they're probably in the archives, but there's so much good information that some of the websites don't even exist anymore. But there were so many people over the years that helped me when I was trying to clear my head of all the Word of Faith doctrines that I had, being saved in 1981, and then I spent 15 years in Word of Faith movement, and I was in public ministry, traveling all over the world and holding meetings, healing meetings for the most part, and laying hands on the sick, and reading books from Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and people like that. But anyway, thank God the Lord delivered me then in 1997. And I got out of that mess. Thank you, Jesus. But there's still so many people caught up in these false doctrines. And as I was listening to some of these, and it seems like there's more and more of these people than ever before, because I don't think I've ever seen so much deception as far as, it's not only women, there might be more women than men, I would say, that are having these angelic visitations, and then they're being caught up into the throne room. I don't think I've ever heard of so many people claiming that they're going to heaven and God showing them all these different rooms, and they see the Father God, which that's impossible. No, the Bible says no man could see God and live. So I don't know how they get extra biblical exclusions where God takes them up into heaven and they see whatever it is they claim they're seeing, which I don't know if some of these people are tripping on something or smoking something, or they're just extremely good storytellers and they probably could write great episodes for the Twilight Zone or for the Time Machine if they ever wanted to bring back like a series on the Time Machine. I'm sure some of these people could be great writers for these kind of things. I never heard so many outlandish stories coming from the weirdest kind of people. So when the Bible says that we're supposed to beware, we better beware, because they have big followings. Hundreds of thousands of people view some of their videos, some of their video testimonies, and they're way out there in wacky land. Yeah, wacky land. Also, don't forget our two books. We have our two books up on Amazon. Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? A lot of them will tell you that you can bribe God. If you give $100 or you give $1,000, then God jumps off the throne and he decides that he's going to throw some money your way. I saw a video this week of Mike Murdoch. He looks like he's in bad shape. Bad shape. Bad shape. And I know a few months ago, I think he had some kind of a brain tumor or something. But anyway, he looks like he's on his last legs. I wonder if he'll repent. There was another video that was done about 2 or 3 years ago of some preachers. And I probably don't 100% agree with their methods, but anyway, they were over there at Murdoch's church standing in the parking lot, and they confronted him, which, yeah, I would like to do the same thing, just have a talk with him. And they asked him if he was going to repent for all his false teachings, and so he engaged them for about 4 or 5 minutes. And he kept saying, how come you don't have any love? And who are you? And I would ask him the same question. I would ask him, how come you don't have any love? Because you'd like to steal from people by lying about Seed Faith. And you've made a whole career, which you called a ministry, out of ripping people off and conning people out of their money by telling them to pay God off. And then he jumps off his throne when he sees that $1,000 bill coming his way. And he'll do just about anything for you if you sow a seed. So I don't know if Mike Murdoch's going to repent or not before he meets his end. And no, he's in bad shape. But that's what sin will do to you. Sin will totally destroy you. You might think you're getting away with it. And of course, he was living the high life. He was flying around in jets, the jet planes that he owned. And he was living in mansions. And he had, I don't know how many cars. He was bragging about all the beautiful cars he had and how people would buy him these expensive cars and one-of-a-kind cars. And he's not going to take any of it with him. I have news for him. When he dies, he's not taking any of those cars with him. He's going to leave all that stuff here for somebody else to fight over. And who knows who's going to be fighting over all his junk that he's got. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? It profits nothing. So I don't have anything against people having money. It's none of my business. It is my business, though, when these con artist preachers lie to people and make Jesus look like, some weird Jesus that they have, not our Jesus, but they have a weird Jesus that he has to have money, and you have to honor him with money before he does anything. And that's a lie, and that's a lie right from the pit of you know where. So that has nothing to do with God. And I still can't believe how many people fall for it. You see it all over these television networks. That's all you see now because it works. People, it's just like those sweetheart scams. These people, mainly they prey on elderly men and women that are looking for love. And these people go on the internet and they go, and somebody, did you ever get those emails? And they say, you have inherited $1 million, or I'm dying of cancer and I've got all this money that I want to give to you. And don't pay any attention. Don't answer those emails. Don't answer. But sometimes people answer these emails and then they believe it. And these people tell them that you have to send them some money so that you can get your money. And then people do it. And then sometimes these men and these women, they send, some of these people were sending like $100,000, $200,000. They're mortgaging their homes just so that they could get love, just so that this person that doesn't even exist, that's emailing them, and they're always supposed to meet up, but somehow they can't make the connection to get the flight to come in and meet the love of their life. Oh, and it goes on like for years and years that he can't catch his flight and he got arrested in Pakistan or something. And you can't believe what people do and how they get hung up in all these scams. But that's what these preachers do to people. It's like a sweetheart scam. We'll send you letters. We'll call you on the telephone. Some of them do that. I remember one time years ago, it was probably in the 1980s, and I think I was on Lester Sumrall's mailing list or something at the time. That was the big thing, of course, was to be on mailing lists so you could get the newsletters. That was before the internet. And I don't know how they got my phone number, but I get a phone call, and it's a recording. It says, Lester Sumrall wants to speak to you. I thought to myself, well, he's not on the phone. You know, this is a recording. And it says, Lester Sumrall wants to speak to you. And then he was asking for money. He was asking me for donation, no seed faith gifts for something. Anyway, I hung up the phone. And I was like, what? Why is he lying to me? I mean, he's not on the phone. Don't tell me that you're calling me. Lester Sumrall is calling you. He wasn't calling me. He was calling me and about how many other thousands of people on a recording. And so, of course, it took me a while to figure out what was happening as far as with the rest of these preachers, because it was probably 10 years after that before I finally escaped from Word of Faith. And I always had a lot of questions about why are they always talking about buying mansions and having Rolex watches and going to Singapore. They used to love to go to Singapore for tailor-made suits. That was the big thing, was to go. The preachers would go and have their suits tailor-made. And they could even have shoes made, custom-made shoes for themselves. Always the best. And I just did a video about the lifestyles of the rich and famous preachers of some of their homes, 25,000 square feet homes, 50,000 square feet homes. You know, these guys, they didn't have any kind of a gig going before they became pastors. And then I would say, for the most part, most of them didn't have any money of their own. And they got rich off tithing. Tithing is how most of these people get rich. And they tell you, yeah, you can get rich too if you just give us 10%. But no, they are the ones that usually are living the largest of the people in the congregation. There might be some other people that might live a little larger than the pastor, but it's usually the pastor that's living large. And the people like Creflo Dollar, who just bought recently 53 acres outside of Atlanta and built this big, huge monstrosity of a house. And remember when he wanted $60 million so he could have a jet to fly around? Yeah, he needed $60 million. He would never, even if he flew first class or even if he chartered a jet for the rest of his life, he would never spend $60 million. Never. Never. And especially after the coronavirus hit, nobody was going anywhere to hold church services. Still not holding church services in many places, and I don't know if it's ever going to go back to the way it was, because people have to be careful. Even though people are getting this vaccine, that doesn't mean they're not getting the virus. They are. And my cousin was telling me last night that a friend of hers, their parents were in their 80s, and they went and got vaccinated, and now the father is on a respirator in the hospital. He got the virus. So you can't let down your guard. You still have to be careful. And so they're trying to make people believe that, oh, we're going to vaccinate everybody, and then you can return to life as normal. But it's, I don't know if it's ever going to be normal. That's my opinion anyway. I don't know, because now there's so many variants, and there's a big outbreak, I think, in Brazil, and now there's another big outbreak in Michigan. And so anyway, we just have to be careful. It's crazy times we're living in. It's crazy, crazy times. And now there's some kind of a volcano that might be exploding in the Caribbean. Oh, brother. Anyway, we are in the end times. We are in the end times, and we just don't know what's going to happen. And we just have to stay close to the Lord and do what we can do to hang in there while we're here. Because every day it's something new that comes out, and everything in the political world anyway looks like it's crazy. There's so much upheaval. And then when you look at the state of the so-called church, because I know God has a remnant church, and that church will stay strong, and people won't bow the knee to these false teachers and these false doctrines. But I think some of them probably are hurting financially, because I don't know if there was any in the new stimulus. I'm not 100% sure that there was any money in there for the churches like there was in the first round of stimulus with the PPP money, payment protection program, that paid the salaries of these pastors, and some of them got millions of dollars. And I don't know with this new administration if they put that in there for them to get this PPP, because with church attendance down, and then of course a lot of these states have lockdowns. There was even a church, and I think it was in Alberta, Canada, that they closed down. They arrested the pastor, and they came and they built the government there built a fence around the church so nobody could get in. Can you believe that? Yeah. And then somebody put up a video that they were driving by a mosque nearby there, and the people were allowed to go there inside the mosque, but yet they didn't want them going inside this church. Crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, let's look at some of these wacky people. I if anybody's interested in the audio we play, sometimes we play the audio of the King James Version of Scriptures, and it's Alexander Scorby who is the narrator of those, and you can hear those on YouTube. They have the whole Bible on there if anybody is ever interested. But that's the one that I like to use when I play the scriptures anyway. But 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And that's for sure. Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And that's the truth. 2 Peter 2:1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Romans 16:18, "For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." That's it. And they do. They do. Everybody wants this kind of get-rich-quick thing. Well, maybe not everybody, but most people. And there is no such thing. There is no such thing as that. But they want you to believe that. They want you to believe that some of them tell you that after 7 days, you're going to get your miracle, or after 30 days, you're going to get your miracle. Well, some people have been waiting 30 years and they still don't have their breakthrough. So don't believe these liars. And they are liars. Liars. Anyway, there were so many people. I could probably do 10 shows on this topic, because looking through some of the information on the internet on all these people that have these angelic visitations, and they're being taken up to heaven, and they're being shown all these things in heaven. And I can't believe how many of them there are out there. But they seem to all be in this one group, and they all seem to hang out with each other, like Patricia King and Cindy Jacobs and Sid Roth. And they all kind of gather around these other lesser known people who they're bringing on their programs, and they're inviting to their churches and inviting to their conferences to talk about their angelic visitations and their trips to heaven. Well, of course, they don't have any scripture to back this up. They try to quote scripture when they're telling their stories, and they try to say, yes, see, I have this scripture to prove that what I'm doing is right and what I'm saying is right. But this can't be. Now, here's one story. Now, here's one whopper of a story by this. I never knew anything really much about this Emma Stark. I've just heard of her recently, but she hangs out with that group. And here's one of her stories.
Emma Stark, She's Irish, but she lives in Scotland, so this is going to be a wild one. Emma, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And today we're going to talk about angels, so fasten your seatbelts. And Emma teaches that it's biblically normal to have angelic encounters today, and there's a new paradigm. There's a new pattern of people, Christians, believers, partnering with angels. You got a ton of stories. Now, you talk about it being biblically normal. Let's go to Isaiah 6.
Yes.
Because Isaiah had a wonderful experience, but you have an experience tied in with that.
Well, yes, and this is an Irish accent, and I'm full-blown Celtic warrior, just so you've got the heads up on that.
I'm ready.
Yeah. When I was a teenager and when I was studying at university, I had my first angel encounter, which set me on a trajectory to examine the scriptures to see, well, God, is this okay? Because I just want to be biblically normal. I don't want to be outside of biblical best practice. So I was on my knees praying Isaiah 6, and I was praying that for days, and I would run back to my lectures and say, God, here I am, send me, you know, that devotion of a teenager, you know, oh, I just want you to use me, God. And then this seraphim walked physically through the wall.
Now tell the people at home what a seraphim is, because they don't know.
Well, a seraphim is one of the holiest angels, and it's in that, in fact, it's the only time seraphim is mentioned in scripture is Isaiah 6.
Okay.
And they're the ones that hold the tongs with coals in the air.
Right.
And he was terrifying, because of course there are many winged, and in fact they're six winged, and very much like Mary who falls down dead, or John in scripture, the revelator, I was like, if I hadn't been on the floor already, I would have been on the floor.
Right.
So I'm holding the end of my bed sheets in that kind of, because the holiness of God has just walked into the room. And this angel said, the Lord has heard your prayers. And he physically put the coal to my lips. And in a second, as an 18-year-old, my entire mouth went totally ulcerated, and I started to bleed. I actually have blood on the pages of that Bible that I was using in my late teenage years. And it was just, it was so shocking, and obviously I was in pain, but I had met physically, not just spiritually, I had met physically with the power and the purification of the Lord. So I mean, I was terrified, and I went straight to my minister. I'm like, I don't know what to do, you know, and this would have been in the mid-90s. And he just got some water and blessed it and said, drink it. And as quickly as the burning had come, it went. And so that made me start to say, well, oh God, you know, is this going to be the way life should be? Is this normal?
Right.
I hope not. I would hope not that wouldn't be normal, that an angel would walk into your room with a hot coal and burn your mouth. Please show me where that is in scripture. Oh, dear. I don't think so. That sounds a little bit like divination, I think. So here's another whopper from Emma.
We're here learning about angels with Emma Stark, and we're having a blast. Thank you. Now, you talked about your daughter having a guardian angel.
Yes.
We all do.
Yes.
What about yours?
Mine is fantastic. Although, to be fair, I've had a few but let me tell you a story about one.
Yeah.
So my husband and I and a friend had gone for dinner one night in a restaurant. We'd ordered our meal, and we were waiting for it to come to the table. And this ugly, demonic, strong man, demon, appeared in the restaurant. And I'd seen him before, but this time he was in full-blown warfare mode.
Wow.
He opened his jacket, and all his minion demons rolled out, and the restaurant was full of this force of the demonic. So my husband sees my face, and he goes, Emma, are you okay? He says, do we need to leave? And I'm like, no, I've ordered my food. We're not leaving now. You know, and how difficult it is to get babysitters sometimes.
Exactly.
And I'm like, no,
I'm gonna eat this meal.
I am staying. So I turned to my guardian angel to say, what's the best plan here?
Right.
But he's a Psalm 91 angel, which is the angels who hide you under their wings.
Mm.
Fast as anything. I don't even have to speak to him. I just turn around. He winks at me. He's so on it. His wings are up. And he covers the three of us at the table. And we become completely physically invisible. I cannot get any waitress's attention. We're waving, I'm shouting, I'm calling. It's like we have ceased to exist.
Whoa.
So in the end, out of utter desperation, I go to the kitchen hatch and say, I've ordered food, and I have to serve my own food to the three of us.
Yeah.
End of the night, restaurant is closing. We're the only customers there. The waitresses are mopping the floor. The chairs are upside down on the tables, and it's kind of lock-up time. And the demons disappear,
yeah.
And the way angel, the Hydra angel goes, oh, puts his wings down.
Yeah.
At that moment, we are suddenly visible. There's a swarm of all the staff. How did you get in here? How long have you been here?
Wow.
Why could we not see you? What's going on? We looked around the restaurant. We made sure it was clear. We locked the front door. You're in our prime seat, and we did not see anybody at that table all night.
That's incredible.
It is. How do you explain that?
It's supernatural.
So we just gave them a large tip.
Did you eat, though? Did you guys get to eat at least?
We did. We ate. And we didn't even get a dessert menu because that was too much like hard work.
Right.
You know, and we just gave them a large tip and blessed them and left. But that's kind of, I have to say, that's kind of my norm.
I was going to say, you have this kind of activity happening all the time.
Yeah. I think because we have so trained ourselves to see that actually we're very comfortable in that place of an everyday, you know. And of course, I see my three children's guardian angels on a daily basis, just touching base, looking in with them, checking that they're okay. And I don't talk to them all the time, but I am very aware, as are my staff team who I train, as are my children, of the protection of angels.
You can see them work.
I mean, you can't make that up. You know, she can make it up, but I wouldn't even in my imagination have dreamed of anything like that, that I'm going out to a restaurant to eat, and all of a sudden, demons come all around from all over the place, and then my angel is there, and he winks at me, and then he takes me and my husband and my friend under his wings, and we disappear. They disappeared. Yeah, they disappeared. And then I don't know how they got their food finally, because they disappeared. She said something about going to the place where she could talk to the people in the kitchen. I don't know how she did that, though, since she was supposedly disappeared. And then all of a sudden they reappear. And then her children have guardian angels, and she sees those angels, but sometimes she doesn't talk to them. Oh, dear. No, you can't make it up. She can. Emma Stark. Here's more of her.
Important that I talk to you about what I saw in the throne room when God caught me up in the spirit. And I saw God as I walked into the throne room, which I do quite often, and I'm used to the cacophony of the angelic noise and the, you know, the 24 elders doing the business of the throne. But God came off his throne, and he's on all fours on the ground in a way I've never seen him before. And there's a howling, groaning, almost disturbing noise. And I looked to the angels like, do I need to give them space? What do you do when you see God like that? And one of the angels whispered in my ear, remember Gethsemane. And I'm thinking, oh yes, of course, you're supposed to stay, you know, because Jesus was abandoned in that moment. And I kind of kneel down before God, and of course he's huge and I'm so small. I start to hear him wail, and this is, if that image disturbs you, it's right out of Isaiah, where Isaiah describes God as a woman in labor, a God, the woman giving birth. And I hear just God wail, I want the nations. I'm calling for the nations. It's a time for the nations to come back to me. And suddenly God is reading out of his own scriptures, and he's reading Haggai chapter 2. And in a little while, I will will shake the heavens and the earth. And so I feel like God is saying, watch, I am investing, and I choose that word very carefully. I am investing in shaking. And did you think shaking would be easy? And did you think shaking would not have catastrophic events, you know, associated with it? Because God says, I must shake you, because if I don't shake you, you cannot carry the new wine. If I don't shake you, you cannot have the revival. If I don't shake you, you cannot have the 1 billion soul.
August 8th of 75, the Lord had given me some prophecies, and I began to bring them, and I was told by an evil spirit if I kept bringing them, that he'd take my life. I didn't believe him, but he did. So I went to the Lord in death. And as I come close to the Lord, I saw that all the people that was in our line, he asked them only one word, did you learn to love? I saw that about 2% of all humanity was in the line I was in. There were 98% that was in another line that was wrapped up in their gods, because we're going to spend eternity with our gods. And if it's Jesus Christ as our God, we'll spend eternity with him. So as I stood before him, and I was getting ready to tell him, yes, Lord, because he only asked you, did you learn to love? And I was going to tell him I had, but he said, I want you to go back. And I told him I didn't really want to. But he said, go back, because I'm going to bring 1 billion souls unto myself in one great wave. And I want you to touch a few of the leaders that I'm going to use in that time. And I told him, I'll go back for souls. But he did show me parts in heaven. And we've got five senses. In heaven, all five senses are beyond anything that I can tell you. There are fruit there that you can bite into. And the nectar is as sweet and as enjoyable. There's nothing that I could ever compare.
I don't want to waste a crisis. Harvest ready person. And I think the words we would use is uncomfortable awakening, uncomfortable disruptive revival. Because God has said, this is not an interruption. This is a disruption that I am bringing. That God is in the business of investing, not in judgment, but in his goodness, so that the people will choose him. Because rarely do we find our hearts softened en masse as the nations outside of crisis. Rarely is there man en masse turning to Jesus outside of a crisis. And we wish the nations turned in blessing, but they rarely do. And I heard...
Yeah, that was Emma Stark, and Bob Jones is no longer with us. But he... He said that the Lord told him he's going to have 1 billion souls, which she says that too, but that's not what the Bible says. So the Bible says there'll be a great falling away, which that's what I see. I don't see that kind of a thing myself personally. I don't think there'll be a great revival. I don't. No. And also, she commits blasphemy there when she says that she saw God on all fours. Who talks like that? Certainly not a woman of God would never talk like that. That's horrible. Just horrible. But she's all over the place on television programs and in these conferences when they were holding conferences. Awful. Awful. Here's some more from her.
About angels. You talk about the angels of his presence.
Oh,
what is that?
They're amazing. They're amazing. Get so excited about this. So scripture, if you read it with a detailed eye, you'll start to see angel categories come through in the biblical text. Let's go to Isaiah 63.
Right.
So Isaiah 63 has this great verse, and the angels of his presence. Oh, when they come into the room and they're carrying the presence of God.
I love that.
Oh, it's mind-blowing. But, I mean, I remember going to a church once, and an angel of his presence, he would have been about 60 meters wide. I mean, a vast, and full wings out.
Yeah.
And he was circling over the top of this church, and he was trying to release the presence of God in the church.
Mm.
And for weeks, I would go, and he would be there, and he was screeching in unbearable pain because the church did not want
Yikes.
The presence of God.
Yikes.
And eventually that angel just had enough and left.
Mm.
But I think we need to be aware of the angels of his presence.
Wow.
Do you want to hear some other categories of angels?
Yeah.
So guardian angels. Paul talks about angels being given to every child at birth.
Right.
And of course, that means that we all have one. We all have an angel who looks after us. And of course, then later in scripture, Paul talks about the angel to whom I belong, suggesting that they don't leave us in adulthood. And so my guardian angels, they nurture and protect me. But let me tell you about my daughter, because she's 17. And I sat her down actually just a few days ago, and I said, Jessica, tell me about your angels, your guardian angel. She says, Mommy, when I walk into a room, he walks in ahead of me, and he does two complete laps of the room just to check that there's nothing harmful in the room. She says, he changes color. She says, his eyes change color depending on his mood. She says, when I'm witnessing and telling my friends about Jesus, and in some quite hostile environments in her high school, she says, that angel, he puts his hand on my shoulder and he hums and he loses the glory of God.
Wow.
She says, he can hum two notes at once.
Wow.
Mommy, she says, he harmonizes with himself.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And then she says, Mommy, you know, sometimes my guardian angel is the only person who laughs at my jokes.
Ah.
And she's so comfortable
right.
with the fact, so she's not
right.
worshiping angels, which
right.
is, by the way, a sin.
That's not good.
So can we just
please
get over ourselves and not do that?
Yeah.
But equally, there is that sense in Scripture where Moses is being briefed by God, and God says, I'm going to send an angel, and God is quite strict. You are going to pay attention, and you are going to do what he says. So Scripture has that expectation all the way through that we will partner with the angels, and we will do what they say.
I don't think those are the angels of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I don't think those are the angels of the Lord Jesus Christ visiting this lady. And here's another Emma she has destroyer angels.
I would call them a destroyer angel. Now, of course, they are in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
We read in Scripture that destroyer angels destroy the cities.
Right.
We read about them in Corinthians, where they destroy those who grumble.
Okay.
So this term destroyer angel, I have lifted straight out of the biblical text.
Right.
And the Lord says, I am sending angels who destroy that which stands against the knowledge of God to the earth. And he walked into my office. Oh, my goodness, he's menacing. And he sat down on my settee, and I said, what are you here to do? He said, I'm here to work with the saints of God to destroy the accuser of the brethren.
Wow.
And I only seen one or two of them until recently, and suddenly there were squadrons. And do you remember Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10 says that we're to build up but also to tear down.
Yeah.
I think we're very good at being positive. You know, you're going to have a blessed day, or things are going to go well with you. But this tearing down, the Lord says, if you pray it, these destroyer angels will tear down that which stands against my kingdom.
Especially things that are supposed to be happening in our lives or globally, nationally.
Both personally and globally, there is this release. And they are deliverance angels. And they are going to bring to the body of Christ not just destruction, but deliverance. And there's good.
Yeah. They like to say that. I think Rick Joyner had something like that. He wrote a book which I can't remember the name of right now. I don't know if it's Hordes of Heaven or something like that. But anyway, where he says that these angels are going to come and destroy the accusers of the brethren, which they would look at people like me and other people that bring out their false doctrines and their false teachers, their false teachings. She says her angel comes in to her office and sits down on her settee. No. And of course, he's going to take care of her enemies, which are eventually true Christians, which there will be persecution. It's not going to be, they like to say that they're being persecuted when somebody talks about them. That's not persecution when somebody talks about you. Persecution is like what the saints went through. All the apostles were murdered except for John the Revelator, and that was persecution. And then when they were feeding Christians to the lions in Rome, that was persecution. When they had an Inquisition and they were burning people at the stake, that was persecution. But somebody talking about you is not persecution. But to them, that's persecution, and that means that your enemies should be destroyed, according to them, anyway. According to them. Here's a guy called Joshua Mills. Now, this was weird. Here's Joshua Mills on angels.
Flow literally began to drip from my hands. It began to bubble up in the very palms of my hands, and then began to drip from my fingers. And so I knew that God was doing something, and I had to stop everything. And immediately I told all the people to line up around the walls, and I was going to lay my hands and anoint each one. So I began to go around the room and anoint each one with the supernatural oil that was flowing. It smelled, it had a fragrance to it, and it smelled like cedars, the cedars of Lebanon. And I began to anoint the different ones with this oil that was coming, and I got to this young girl. As she didn't say anything to me, I just put my hands on her head. Instantly, there was a snap in her back. She had, for a long time, had this spine that was all crooked and out of order. When I laid my hands on her head with that supernatural oil that was flowing, instantly her spine came in line. She was completely healed by the power of God. Miracles like this began happening all over the place, healing miracles, creative miracles. All these things began happening in the room. I went and I anointed all 200 of those people that were there that morning. I figured it was the end of the meeting. God had done his work. The oil stopped flowing at that point. So we're excited about the work of God, the things that he had done. And Brother A.L. Gill, he went to close the meeting, and he somehow just couldn't bring himself to closing it. He kept on trying to close it for lunch, and he just couldn't do it. And Brother Steve Swanson was up there in worship, and all of a sudden, the keyboard began playing by itself. And sounds began coming out of this keyboard that were not in the keyboard. I mean, Steve knows his stuff. Steve knows his keyboards. And he put his hands up in the air and just was in total amazement as heaven had overtaken his keyboard and these sounds started to come out of the sound system being played by the heavenly realm. And so there was people that were amazed by this, and then there were some people, they were ready for lunch, ready to go. And this continued, I don't know, for about maybe 5-10 minutes where the keyboards played on their own, and then all of a sudden, the atmosphere of the glory shifted, and the angels of God came down into the meeting and began singing, "Holy, holy, holy." You could hear their voice singing. It was not coming from the sound system. It was coming from all around. You couldn't put your finger on the place that the angels were singing. It was surrounding us completely. The angels of God were singing with this heavenly symphony that was coming out of the keyboard for half an hour. The angels sang. People fell on their face. People were weeping. People were crying. People were slain in the power of God, in the presence of God. It was absolutely tremendous as God came and visited us that morning.
I don't think so. I don't think that God starts playing a keyboard that all of a sudden piano keys start playing themselves. I don't think that happens in church services. That sounds more like a seance or something like that. dear. Yeah, this guy was on television. I think he was on Sid Roth, this guy. Oh, and with Patricia King. Now he said that all of a sudden he had oil dripping from his hands. Can you imagine that? Here's another of his
flowing hair
testimony.
It was a male in appearance. Had blonde flowing hair, had like porcelain skin, had these beautiful blue eyes. And he was wearing this, like this. The only thing I can say about the outfit was that it was shimmering or dazzling, just reflecting light tremendously. And he was holding this bowl in his hands that almost looked like a flower planter, like a very large bowl. And he took it and he poured it over like this, began to tip it towards the earth, and oil began to flow out from the bowl. When I saw this, all of a sudden, I woke up from the dream. It was just a dream. Woke up from the dream, and I looked at the clock. It was 2:35 in the morning. Turned the lights on. And here, sitting at the very end of my bed, was two glasses that had been placed on a table at the end of my bed. Now, these glasses were not there when I went to sleep. These glasses, the last time I saw these glasses, they were in the bathroom wrapped in plastic. They were at the end of the bed, unwrapped, full of oil, spilling over the top and spilling out all over the table. My Bible was open to Revelation chapter 5. This was a Bible that I had sent over on the entertainment stand along with five or six of my other Bibles. This Bible had been moved, open on the table, and there was glory dust that was all over Revelation chapter 5. I read it. It speaks about the prayers of the saints going up like an incense and being collected in these golden bowls. And so God began to speak to me about our praise and our worship, because the night before there was such a tremendous weighty praise and worship that was going forth, and God showed me that it was going up, being collected in the bowls, but then the bowls were being turned once again and the oil was flowing out. And so I saw this prophetically in the room, and I got very excited about what God was doing and all that I was seeing, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I stayed awake and I just began praying into it and reading the word and just asking God for more revelation, more direction. I went to the meeting that morning. I began to minister in the meeting. By that time, Janet and the team were there in Big Bear Lake. I began to minister in the meeting. God began giving me this message about may I bless you, and I began to share this prophetic word. In the middle of the message, the oil sign began to flow, literally began to drip from my hands. It began to bubble up in the very palms of my hands and then began to drip from my fingers. And so I knew that God was doing something, and I had to stop.
I don't think God was doing anything. No, I don't think God was doing anything when you go to sleep, and then an angel comes in the room, and you wake up, and there's two glasses of oil at the end of your bed, and then your Bible was on a shelf, and then all of a sudden your Bible is somewhere else, and the pages are flipping, and gold dust is coming down. I don't think that is biblical, and I don't think that has anything to do with our God or our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's that all about, that you go to a meeting after these two glasses of oil appear at the edge of your bed? And all of a sudden, oil starts dripping from your hands. Oh, this guy's got a vivid imagination, let me tell you. Very vivid imagination. But as you can see, they do. It's like one-upmanship. Everybody has to have a better story than the last time that somebody told a story. I never heard so many stories. Fairy tales, though, fairy tales. I never heard so many fairy tales like this. No. Here's another guy, Jeremy. Now, here's Jeremy, and he's got a book where he can teach you how to invite angels into your house. And he was on, Sid Roth had him on his show, Jeremy, with his Watcher Angels.
Types of angels that frankly, most people have never even heard of. What's a watcher angel?
Oh, the watchers are some of the most fascinating angels. And so watchers are found in Malachi chapter 3, 16 through 18. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord heard it. And it says, a book of remembrance was written on behalf of those who heard. And so here is this group of people. They're pleasing God in their fellowship with the Lord. I could just see it. It's like God's looking in at a meeting, even like we would have at church. And he's so excited about what they're talking about in their faith that an angel is now assigned to watch over and to write down a book of remembrance. And so in our meetings, what I've seen at times is angels that appear with pads of paper and pens. And they just watch as we're preaching. And I used to kind of...
So they're good secretaries,
yeah,
these watchers.
Yeah. And okay. So I used to be fascinated. God, what does that mean? And this is what he told me. He said, it's Psalm 103:20. They watch over the word of the Lord to perform it. And he said, Jeremy, they're literally watching over the prophetic word, and they're watching for hearts that receive that word and that are saying yes. And they write their name on the pad of paper, and then the pad of paper is taken to the Father, and the Father executes the word over their lives.
Tell me about the cherubim angels.
The cherubim angels are the angels that bring the glory of God. And you know,
oh, I like those cherubim angels.
Yeah, in Ezekiel chapter 10, it talks about the cherubim angels crossing the threshing floor of the temple, and it says the brilliance of God's glory comes into the room.
You showed me something before we went on the air. He had a visitation from an angel, and this angel left a feather that I've never seen a feather shaped like that, and he can literally pull a piece of the feather off and it'll grow back. I've never seen it. I'll show it to you when we come back if you want.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. Did you know that God has angels that truly exist on the earth today? Do you know that there are angels assigned to you by God? Did you realize that angels are waiting to assist you and help you with every circumstance you are facing? Now, Jeremy Nelson wants to impart to you the supernatural keys and the anointing on how to discern and activate the angels who are assigned by God for you. Angels of protection, provision, miracles, healing, deliverance, salvation, and prosperity. Call now and get Jeremy Nelson's powerful book, Encountering Angels, and his anointed three-part audio CD teaching, Angels on Assignment. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9437 through Jeremy Nelson's powerful book, Encountering Angels. You will learn that as a believer in Jesus, you have angels assigned to you. Understand practical keys to obtain supernatural encounters with God and his angelic realm every day. Learn that there are various forms of angels, including watcher angels, healing angels, angels of joy, guardian angels, warrior angels, seraphim angels, cherubim angels, and many more. Learn how to tap into messenger angels who are available to help release revelation and enlightenment to you. Realize that the angels given by God to you will help you receive your breakthrough, your healing, and your miracle. Through Jeremy Nelson's three-part audio CD teaching series, Angels on Assignment, he will demystify the realm of the angelic and bring you into a greater understanding of the role of angels in God's divine plan for your life. Help equip you to begin partnering with God and his amazing variety of angels. Get you ready to be a part of God's great end-time revival about to invade the planet Earth. You will...
Yeah. For $35, you can learn how to get these angels to come to your house, and you can have visitations. Yeah. Jeremy. I don't know. You're probably thinking the same way I'm thinking. Did you ever hear so much nonsense in all your life? I never heard of all these stories. Never in my years in the Word of Faith movement. I mean, there were some weird stories, but there's more weird stories now than ever. And here's another lady. I never heard of this lady before until today. Cynthia Smithson. And she went to heaven, and she saw the banquet room of heaven.
So come back down the stairs, and you're going to make a left, and you're going to go into the royal banquet room. At the end of the banquet table, the king is seated. Jesus is there. He has a crown on. He's wearing white and gold. He has gold chalice in his hand full of wine. He loves the people. He is full of the glory of the Lord. When he laughs, when he connects with us, there is this power that comes and consumes all of us. We are completely whole. We are without sin. We are... So come back down the stairs and you're going to make a left and you're going to go into the royal banquet room. At the end of the banquet table, the king is seated. Jesus is there. He has a crown on. He's wearing white and gold. He has gold chalice in his hand full of wine. He loves the people. He is full of the glory of the Lord. When he laughs, when he connects with us, there is this power that comes and consumes all of us. We are completely whole. We are without sin. We are in a place where we don't focus on our insecurities or our weaknesses. We feel exactly like God created us to be without fallen humanity. And so God invites you, Jesus invites you himself to sit down at a table. This huge table was so long, I couldn't even see the end of it, but there's all of these seats. The seat has your name on it. There's a golden plate in front of you, and when you lift it up, the back has your name on it. There's gold utensils for us to use, and there's a gold chalice. There's a gold bowl that has anointing oil. Like, it's oil. It's oil in it, like olive oil, but it is just full of the presence of God, even in the bowl.
In the bowl.
There's luscious fruits. Mm-hmm. Everything is big, and it is luscious. There is a loaf of bread that is in front of about, you know, four people. Loaf of bread, which represents the bread of life, the revelation of heaven, all before us.
Wow.
We are in a place of righteousness. You are invited to be at that table because you have the righteousness of Christ. He gave you his very own righteousness. So everyone at the table knows that they have the right to be there because of what Jesus has done. So there is no fear, there's no shame, there's no guilt, there's just complete wholeness. And in that place, we engage with the Lord. He talks with us. He gets up from the table. He comes around. He pulls other seats up to sit down and to engage with us. He loves us so much.
Yeah,
and
no
he
kidding.
Wants us to be that close with him. And so I just want to encourage you, this is for you today. This doesn't await you when you pass and your spirit, soul go to heaven. This is for you now.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I'm so glad she told us that she had to go up to the banquet room to find out that Jesus loves us. Yeah. I think I already knew that because he died for me. I think I knew that. That I didn't need her to go to the banquet room so she could tell me how much he loves us. And I didn't even need her to go to the banquet room to tell me that I belonged in heaven when I got there. I didn't need her to tell me that because I already know I'm going there. So, there's fruit, and the fruit is big, and it's luscious, and there's golden chalices, and there's golden plates, and Jesus pulls up the chair, and he's could you imagine, and her and her husband, I think, pastor a church, could you imagine, I wonder to myself, it's like, if your wife starts talking like that, shouldn't you say to your wife, honey, you know, that doesn't sound right. I think you sound a little bit off, but they don't even try to correct them. They don't, these people are married with husbands and wives, and their mates don't even try to correct them. They're supposed to be helping them. But they're not helping them because they allow their husbands and their wives to indulge in these heresies. And these are destructive heresies. These are destructive heresies because Jesus warned us not to go running after a sign and a wonder. And that's what these people are basically all about, is the next sign and the next wonder that they could make up. The stories, as you notice, they get more ridiculous as time goes on. Now, here's one of our favorite heretics. Here's Paula White. Paula White even recently took a trip to the throne room, and I expect that she heard some criticism about her visit to the throne room, because she even said recently that, I don't care what anybody says, I went to the throne room. And Paula, you didn't go to the throne room. I don't know what throne room you went to, but you did not go to the throne room of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. You weren't at that throne room. I have news for you, because you're not even saved. So you didn't go there. But here she is. Here's Paula with her version of her visit to the throne room.
And I literally went to the throne room of God. I won't say much, but I'll say something that's important for me to teach you here today. So in that divine encounter, I don't know how long I was there. I just know that kind of power is almost impossible for a natural body to contain. It is like went to the throne room of God. First I saw there was a mist that was coming off the water, and I went to the throne of God, and I didn't see God's face clearly, but I saw the face of God. Wasn't it clear? Not like I could see your face clearly, but I knew it was the face of God. And as God began, he put a mantle on me. It was a very distinct mantle. I had no idea that Apostle had prophesied. I think you said that there was a mantle that was coming upon me, that there was a new mantle coming upon me. And there was a mantle, and I saw it very distinctly. The color was like a goldish, but it was a yellowish goldish, a little bit different than your scarf, a little bit brighter than your scarf there. And then I saw the earth for a moment. And then he brought me back and he put me in certain places, one being the White House, one being certain continents. It was a massive move. I didn't come out of that really until the next.
Yeah, well, she went to the throne room, I think it was like a year ago, and she said God showed her she was in the White House. Well, he took her out of the White House pretty quick there. She might have, her God, not our God, dropped her over there in the White House, but I guess to her shock and awe, she was removed from her position there at the White House. And Esther, like she likes to call herself, and she even had some people calling her Esther. She thought she was the Esther of this generation. And I guess she was probably in total shock when she was delivered from her position there at the White House, never to return. Even though she had all these heavenly visitations and these prophetic words, which we know didn't come from our God, these people are hearing maybe from their God, who puffs them up with pride, and then they can brag to you about all these things that they know and they see. Here's another wacky girl here, Anna Werner. And her visitation.
Stuff that was getting me down. But when that lion Judah roared, I felt all of it just break and loose off of me. So that room, the Lord's taking me back a couple times. It's a wonderful room.
Now we want to hit one more real quick, which is the strategy, what you call the strategy room. Now what happens in the strategy room?
Yeah, it's an interesting place. I've been there a few times, and there's lots of different scrolls there. Mm-hmm. And one time I was there, and I saw Jesus there, and there was this big table. And he went, and he was getting, there was angels there, and they were getting scrolls. And it was, the angels, again, would get instruction from the Lord. Jesus was there, and he would give them instruction, and then they would unroll the scrolls. And so Jesus grabbed a scroll, and because he said, do you want to see yours? And I said, yeah.
Absolutely.
And so he grabbed his scroll, And he brought it down, and then there's this big oak table, and he laid it out like this. And it was, he laid it all the way out, and at first I saw nothing. And I mean, I have to say that to you at home, I really saw nothing. I looked, and I was like, well, why can't I see? So then he said, look closer. So I closed my eyes, and I said, I prayed, Jesus, would you open my spiritual eyes so that I could see? Mm. And then I opened my eyes, and I could see. And on the scroll, when I looked, I saw different pictures on it, and they were in gold. And I saw myself, now this was years ago when I first went there, so I saw myself how I was then, and I was single at the time. And then in the next picture, I saw myself with a man who is now my husband, and we were in Africa, and we were there with Heidi and Roland Baker, and that's come to pass now.
Mm.
And then after that, I saw us with a child.
So that's probably where she got a lot of this Anna Werner. So that's probably where she got a lot of her wacky dreams and visions from Heidi Baker. And, of course, Jesus opens the scroll, but she can't see it. And he says, look closer. And so instead of her looking closer, she says she closes her eyes and then she prays. And then she, when she opens her eyes, she can see what's written there. And of course, it's written in gold. And it's her future. Dear God, help us, because these people are leading so many people astray. And we can't base our faith and our walk with the Lord on these extra biblical visitations and people's testimonies of going to heaven and going to hell and having oil dripping from their hands and having hot coals put on their mouth and disappearing in restaurants and pianos playing on their own. And yet people believe it. Yet there's people that, I'm sure there's people that love the Lord and there's people that are saved and they believe it. They believe it. And it's deception. It's total deception. And even if somebody had an angelic visitation, would you brag about it? Only if, the only reason you would brag about it is because you were trying to draw attention to yourself. Like you're some great one who gets to go to heaven and sit on Jesus's lap, and he pulls up chairs and he talks to you, and you drink from golden chalices, and just really bizarre. It's really bizarre, but stay away from these kind of teachers. Shun them. Run away from them. Don't have anything to do with these silly dreams and visions that these people are having, because you'll wind up deceived. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and it doesn't take much. And before you know it, it's sad what's happened to people along the way. And some people lose their faith, which they should never lose their faith because of what somebody else did. It really isn't any reason to lose your faith because some pastor or some preacher hurt you. We have to all answer to God for our lives, and he's not going to ask you what Jimmy Swaggart did or what Jim Baker did or what Benny Hinn did. He's going to ask you what you did. So we're responsible for our walk with the Lord, no matter what anybody else ever did to us. That should never affect our relationship with God. And even, I know some people go through a terrible crisis in their life while they're here on earth, and they have horrible things that happen to them, and sometimes they blame God. And I'm sure you would have questions as to why, God, why did this happen? And we don't understand all things. We're never going to understand all things on this side, that's for sure. I think we all have questions about why did this happen and why did that happen. But no matter what happens, it's like Job said, though he slay me, I'll serve him. And that's the way we have to feel, that no matter what happens in our life, we can never turn our back on the Lord Jesus. But we have to make sure that we are aware of these false prophets and these false teachers, and that we can warn other people about their wicked ways, because they're selling books, they're collecting offerings, and they're collecting money to fund these so-called ministries that are nothing more than ministries of deceit and deceiving people. 2 Kings 21:6 says, "And he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments." And that's what this is. It's enchantments. "And dealt with familiar spirits," and that's what these people are dealing with, is familiar spirits and wizards. "He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." So Leviticus 19:31 says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." So don't go running after it. It is. It's familiar spirits. And these people are posing. I think some of them actually just pose as Christians, but they're really witches. And they come in to deceive people. And the Bible talks about deceiving the simple. So stay close to the Lord. Stay in his word. And if somebody comes to you with a dream and a vision and it has nothing to do with scripture, you can't believe it. You just can't believe it. And you notice some of them use scripture, but they take scripture out of context for their extra biblical visitations and their extra biblical prophecies. So that's why you have to read the scripture in context so that you can find out what it means and what it says. And then when they come along with their false dream and their false vision, you won't be deceived. Because we are in the end times, and many people are deceiving and being deceived in these days. And we see the collapse of governments. We see the collapse of democracy and people accepting communism and Marxism and socialism and all the isms, and people's rights being taken away by wicked politicians who try to play with people's lives. So we know that our kingdom is not of this world, and we're only here for a short time. And while we're here, we have to try to make disciples and do what we can do further the cause of Christ and to help people, to pull them out of the pit that they're in. So that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody that stopped by in the chat room today and all our listeners around the world in England and Canada and South Africa and Australia. Thank you, everybody, and in the rest of the countries where we have a smaller listenership. Thank you for stopping by. And if you have any questions or you'd like to email me, you can email me susan@propheticnews.com, and I will answer your email. And just stay close to the Lord and stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, you can ask him to come into your life. You can repent of your sins, because we've all sinned and come and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. And the Bible says in Romans 10 that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ today and ask him to come into your life. He will change your life and give you a brand new life. And he'll give you a home in heaven, that when you die, you don't have to be afraid to die, because you'll know where you're going. God bless you today. Bye, everybody.